You are listening to Law and Gospel on this Thursday, September the 18th, in the year of our Lord 2014. I'm Tom Baker, your host, and because it's a Ruminations Thursday, we have with us our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Pastor Baker. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, and I guess you're having a kind of a interesting little vacation right now.
Yeah. You know, I finished up at St. Paul, Savannah,
right,
on the 17th of August. But, come October 1st, I start out at St. John's Lutheran Church in Buckley, which is over on the Illinois-Indiana border, on October 1st.
Yep. Well, that sounds very good. And what we're doing today, because I was gone last Friday, and of course Monday, and you had taken over for Monday, we didn't have an open mic Friday. And so what we're doing is responding to some emails. But if somebody would like to call in with a question, we're only too happy to have that also. The numbers in the St. Louis area, 821-0850. And anywhere in North America, including St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727. I've got a couple I just want to deal with real quickly. An individual and a church. On Long Gospel, I used to do the Sunday school lesson on Tuesdays, and I stopped doing that, and they're asking if I'm going to start again. Well, I actually am doing it, but not on my program, but on Issues Etc. Because I was on Monday, we did it yesterday, but normally it's on Mondays between 4 and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And so I do the Sunday school lesson for Concordia Publishing House. They have some tremendous materials. So that's the first point I want to make there to that particular question. And the second one I need to answer, they had appreciated what I had to say about Heaven is for Real and wondered if I had anything about that in print. Well, I actually have written a paper. All you need to do is go to lawandgospel101.com. That's the website, lawandgospel101.com. And the first thing up is you can give me your name and email address. And when you do that, you get a free copy of the paper I wrote on Heaven is for Real, and you'll continue to get good deals and freebies for those who sign up there. So those are those two items.
Yeah, I'd like to respond to those two items, too.
Yes.
The first one is, really is the second one, Heaven is for Real. As you know, when you published that paper, you wrote it also for folks up at St. Paul, Savannah, and they really, really appreciated that paper. It was a good explanation, I thought, of the book. And the other one is that Sunday school lesson, because you did it yesterday, didn't you, on the air? And I love that explanation you did on Genesis 3.
Oh, yes.
The craftiness of Satan in his viewpoints of self-centeredness, I thought that was great.
Yeah. Of course, we have a good host with us there, and so it's pretty easy to do that. His questions are always very good. Issues Etc. is on every day from 3 to 5, and we would encourage people to listen to it. The producer, of course, is Jeff Schwartz. And who is the main host there? Do you know, Wes?
You mean Tom Baker?
No, not on Issues Etc.
Jeff himself?
Yeah, no. We'll come back to that if you give a little thought to it. Okay. All righty. Here's the first question I've got, and an email on that. It's in response to a conversation where we talked about absolution, missing a visible means to a sacrament. During a Lutheran tour my husband and I took in Germany in 2011, we went to St. Mary's in Wittenberg. Above the altar are paintings by Lucas Cranach, a friend of Luther. Cranach's artwork was very significant in promoting the doctrinal ideas of the Reformation. The altarpiece consists of three panels, each depicting one of the sacraments, baptism, Holy Communion, and absolution. when one of our Lutheran pastor tour guides was questioned about the inclusion of absolution as a sacrament because of the lack of a visible means, he said the visible means is the laying on of the pastor's hand. Indeed, we experienced that the next day during a confessional service that preceded the communion service. During the confessional service, we confessed our sins corporately in the pew and then went up to the altar rail where we individually received the spoken absolution of our sins while the pastor laid his hand on our head. I've learned so much from your Law and Gospel program. How God has used you to share his word with your listeners has significantly increased my passion for his word. Thank you very much. Now, how would you respond to her in light of the fact that this pastor said it was a sacrament because of the laying on of hands by the pastor?
Well, as you know, there wouldn't be a visible means there. They say the visible means of the laying of the hands, but nowhere have we taught that as Lutherans. I would send them to the Book of Concord, to the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, or Apology meaning the defense of the Augsburg Confession, where it talks about absolution as a sacrament. And what makes, if you look at it as a giving of the forgiveness of sins, yeah, we would probably go with sacrament as there. The other one that I would point him to is the Large Catechism of Luther, where he gives a definition of visible sacrament, you know, with the body and blood of Christ and the bread and the wine, and in water is baptism, are the visible elements that we have. We don't have a visible element when it comes to absolution, but we do certainly do convey the forgiveness of sins there.
So what you're saying, it depends how you define sacrament. If a sacrament is simply the giving of the forgiveness of sins, absolution could be counted as that. But if you add a visible means, then you would only have the two, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Have you ever laid hands on somebody during a confession of sin? Because I have not.
No, I can't say that I have. No.
No.
I mean, I've had them come in individually, and we'd either do it in the office or some would ask that they do it at the altar, but no laying on of hands.
Yeah, the word sacrament coming from the Latin, from the word holy, it means that this is something that is set aside by God to confer the forgiveness of sins and also his presence. Remember on Mount Sinai, Moses was told to take off his sandals when he stood before the burning bush. He would not have had to do that the day before because the bush would have been there, but it wouldn't have been burning. It would not have encased the presence of God, which had occurred there. So one can say that was a holy thing, just like when we often enter into the sanctuary or go to the Lord's Supper, to the altar. That's a holy means that God has given us for the forgiveness of sins.
Good explanation. I like that.
All right. Let's go on to the next email. I was, as it's in Acts 2:38, saying Jesus' name and looking at ask anything in my name and it will be given. Should I be concerned about getting baptized over again in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Is that really our ticket or what we believe? I do believe we are covered by grace. So it sounds like this individual was baptized in the name of Jesus, not in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. If you had a member who wanted to become a member coming from a different denomination, what would your suggestion be to him, Pastor?
I would look into what they were talking about. I mean, the baptismal that we have, we take right, especially out of Matthew 28. So
that's right.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it may be some type of sect, you know, S-E-C-T, that might be out there. And yeah, I would have to do some further instruction with them on that baptism.
Yes. For example, there were at least three baptisms in the New Testament. There was the one of John the Baptizer, but when he died, the disciples continued to baptize, that ceremonial washing in the name of Jesus. And we find in Acts some people who had not received the Holy Spirit because they had only been baptized according to the baptism of John the Baptizer. And so the way I like to say it is to be properly baptized in the name of Jesus is to use the formula, as you already mentioned, from Matthew 28, I baptize you into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that's the formula we use in the same way that we use the words of institution from 1 Corinthians 11 when we do the Lord's Supper.
Yes, and I think the point being is that's the formula that Jesus gave. It's his own words.
Yes, that's a really important point, that we do not want to disagree with Jesus. Although I'm going to have some fun, I just so happen to be doing the sermon at the International Center here right after this program. In fact, we're going to cut out a little earlier, and I'm going to be playing a hymn, which is the hymn for this coming Sunday, Salvation Unto Us Has Come, Wes. So we're going to cut out about 5 minutes early. But the point I'm trying to make is a real simple one. Do you agree when Jesus speaks in the Bible? If you disagree, put your hand up. And of course, I guarantee you nobody will put their hand up. And then I'm going to ask a very simple question. How come you still have two eyes? So I'm looking forward to that one today. Because it's really clear. Jesus says, you know, pluck out your eye if it causes you to sin.
Yeah.
Now, getting back to this email, though. By the way, that's at 10 o'clock, that worship service, if you're anywhere in the 1333 South Kirkwood area. The writer also says, ask anything in my name and it will be given. Now, how do we understand that, Wes? Because a lot of times I'll ask, say, for a motorcycle, and I ask in the name of Jesus, and I don't get it. So what does this promise mean?
Well, yeah, I think you've answered that before, where all those requests are yes. You didn't get your motorcycle according to his will, or yes, you know, it serves his purposes. For there, it's all connected back to the promises that we receive through God, especially through Christ. I mean, it's what's good for our soul. It really gets right down to the soul, the treasure that we, what do we treasure in our life?
To ask in my name, then, to be real specific, when you ask in the name of Jesus, it means you're going to ask according to his will. And therefore, anything that is according to his will, you will receive. And I think the point you were making is that if you ask for a promise of his to be kept, his answer is yes. And if it's not a promise, then you're asking, if it be thy will, as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the answer again is yes, it will be according to my will. So
I think that's so important. You know, the promise, the promises that he's given, and that it comes right back to our salvation that we have in Christ and the forgiveness that he has given to us.
Well, for example, when you baptize a baby, you don't say, we pray that this child will receive faith if it be your will.
Right.
You don't add that on because he's already made a promise in connection with the waters of baptism.
You're right. That's in a couple of weeks, my grandson, you know, on Columbus Day weekend.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Where are you going for that?
Down to Tennessee. It's number two grandchild, and he's named after me.
Named after you?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Which name? No, I had the same situation with my latest grandson. I don't know why they did that, but the middle name is Thomas. So it's Gavin Thomas Baker, and I feel so sorry for the kid.
No, it's only Wesley Andrew Reinmitz.
Where does the Andrew come from?
I'm not quite sure where the Andrew came from. I mean, the other grandchild is named August, and my son's middle name is August, and we named, that's a tradition that we put into the family because my grandfather was Carl August Reimnitz, and he was a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod most of his years out in the prairie of Nebraska. You know, so
yes,
we have a history of doing that, naming our kids after some of the Christians in our family.
Well, one of the things that I said in the promo, if people had anything to question you on Monday, you were there. But you said to me that you had a couple of extra points that you wanted to make about your Monday broadcast. When what was it about Matthew being the focus for this Sunday?
Yeah, this coming Sunday is September 21st, and some of our churches will keen in on Matthew as the apostle and the evangelist. And I think when you look at the whole Gospel of Matthew, it's just, you know, looking at it from Matthew's eyes, he may be the writer. Of course, God is the author. But if you look at Matthew's life as a tax collector, and of course, money was very much a value of that. And I believe right in the center of that Gospel is that parable of the treasure that's there. You know, so what's your treasure in life? Of course, in the one in Matthew chapter 13, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which is found, and the man hid it, and for the joy goes and sells all that he has. Giving it a Christ-centered meaning is that man is Christ, and that treasure that he's found is us, the true Israel, those that believe in his promises, and he comes and he redeems us. He sells all that he has. You know, don't we teach that not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, he has redeemed us. And the treasure, you look at treasure in the Sermon on the Mount on Matthew, in Matthew 2, not only Matthew, but it's also covered in Luke, is where your treasure is, there's where your heart will be. So, you know, where do we place our treasure? Our treasure, you know, is Christ himself. From God's point of view, the treasure is us.
So what you're saying is the parables aren't really teaching us how we ought to behave so much and give things to the church because it's so precious. The parable, at least these kingdom parables, are really about what Jesus has done for us, that he came and bought us, as you said, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, his innocent suffering and death. That really gives a remarkably different understanding of that parable.
Oh, exactly, and I think it also lays out for us that when we look at all our possessions and everything that we have, those are only tools that God has given to us to use, that the real master in our life is God, and at the very center is what Christ has done for us and the value that he places on us.
Very good. Very good. We're going to be going to the hymn right now because I have to get ready for the chapel service. But tomorrow I'm going to be continuing with emails. The one I'm going to start with is about the distinction between law and gospel on the basis of 2 Timothy 2:15. The email indicates that she has been being taught that the distinction is between the gospel and the epistles, that the gospel is for the Jews and the epistle is for the Christians, namely what Paul has written. So we'll begin tomorrow with that particular email. And if you'd like to email Wes or I on Law and Gospel, it's at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. That's Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Thanks so much for being with us there for Wes.
Thanks. God bless.
You too. And we're now going to hear the hymn for this coming Sunday. Salvation unto us has come. We spoke about it on Tuesday, but now you get an opportunity to listen to it.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.